How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today. Some view this as the ultimate just-so story. You know those stories that are told, they're usually rather blatantly fables to explain how the leopard got his spots or why the tortoise is so slow, all those kinds of things. The ultimate just-so story, some might say, is the story of Adam and Eve's fall into sin. It explains everything, why everything's wrong with the world. And there's no doubt about it, there is something seriously wrong with the world and with us. We know it's wrong. There's nothing we can do about it. But the story of Adam and Eve's fall into sin is not one of those fables telling us how these things happened in a mythological way. It's real history, real people falling into real sin. And that's a rather important point in the grand scope of Christian theology. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us for the next half hour on this Monday afternoon, September the 13th. We'll talk about sin entering the world. The Bible tells us it happened through one man, but there's a flip side to that sin entering the world coin we'll get to in just a moment. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, their Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Todd. How are you today?
I'm very well. And you?
I'm flying high after this weekend and glad for another week. An opportunity to be about Sunday school matters.
And congratulations to everybody over there at Concordia Publishing House before we begin, because I understand, is it 111th birthday?
No.
No more?
141 years we've been the publishing arm of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we celebrated that on Saturday, September 11th.
Amazing.
That's a reason to rejoice on September 11th.
Let's talk about the nature of sin. Maybe a simple question. Do we sin because we're sinners, or are we sinners because we sin?
That's always the question, isn't it? I'm gonna go to our Augsburg Confession. What we confess. Our churches teach that since the fall of Adam, all who are naturally born are born with sin. And that is, sin is being without the fear of God, without trust in God, and with the inclination to sin. So that's what it means when we say, you know, we inherit sin or we're born with original sin. We actually are born not fearing God, not trusting Him, and leaning towards, inclined towards sinning. And so that is all in us. What isn't in us is desire to love and serve God or trust Him or do His will. So right from the start, sinful from the time of our conception, as David says in the Psalms, we come with sin and the capacity to sin and the inclination to sin.
When we talk about original sin, we're not just then talking about that original sin, that is, that one act committed by both Adam and Eve that plunged the world into sin and death, but we're talking about the condition that all of that Adam and Eve and all of their progeny live with and cannot cure themselves.
That's exactly right. We're born in this sinful condition, and we can't help it. We can't help ourselves, and we cannot keep from committing then actual sins, which we daily do. And I think of Luther, who said, "You know, we daily sin much." Yes, we do, and that's because this sin is part of our being. It comes with us, this original sin. So it's not just that there was this one thing that happened in the garden with these two people, that one big sin. No, it's that then infected the rest of the world, the rest of creation, and from then on, we are born in sin, inclined towards sin, steeped in sin, and just plain sinners.
Tell us the story of Adam and Eve's fall into sin.
Well, this is that awful and wonderful story. So early in God's Word, in such an important story, it begins with this sentence, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made." And I thought, that's an interesting way to begin this story, but there's a serpent, and he speaks to the woman that God had created, to Eve, and he begins with a question to her. Did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden"? And the woman answers him, "Well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, and neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So she repeats, what God has told her, and this serpent then says to her, "You won't surely die. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So first he questions her, then he lies to her, and now the woman is inclined this way, thinking, I'm going to give in to this. The tree looks like it's good for food and a delight to the eyes. And so she eats from the tree, and then she gets her husband. She gives some fruit to him, and he eats it, and then the text says that their eyes were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed together fig leaves to cover themselves. And then they hear the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, that's a sound that must have been pretty wonderful until this moment. And now they hide themselves from the presence of God. They try to hide in the trees in the garden, and God calls to them, "Where are you?" And he says, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked, I hid myself." Those are the words of Adam to God, explaining what he was doing. And then God says, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Of course, God knew what was going on. And then the man answers, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate it." And then God turns to the woman and says, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman passes the buck and says, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And then God has his words, you know, it's all revealed here, and now he speaks to the serpent and says that the serpent will be cursed above all livestock and above all beasts of the field, and it will crawl on his belly, will eat dust all the days of his life. And then this beautiful verse, the first gospel verse in all of Scripture, "I will put enmity between you and the woman," God says, "and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And then he turns to the woman and says, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you'll bring forth children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And then he talks to Adam and talks about how he had, because he listened to the voice of his wife and ate of the tree, cursed is the ground because of him, and in pain he will eat of it all the days of his life. So now work is hard. Work will be miserable. Thorns and thistles shall come out of the ground, and you'll eat the plants of the field, and by the sweat of your face you'll eat bread till you return to the ground. And then the chapter concludes with the man calling his wife Eve, and because she's the mother of all living, and the Lord making for Adam and Eve garments of skin, of animal skins, to clothe them. And then he drives them out because of what they had done. He drives them out of the garden and to work the ground from which he was taken, drives them out at the east of the garden, and he puts up an angel, a cherubim with a flaming sword there, to keep them away and to guard them from getting to the the tree of life. And that's the end of the chapter, and whoa, what a chapter it is.
With only about a minute here, is there anything we can say as to why God simply didn't scrap the project and start over again? Why he didn't immediately destroy them and say, all right, second time is a charm?
Because he loved his creation. I think that's the only answer you could say. He created this world, and he created Adam and Eve, and he loved them just as he loves you and I and all people. And so he couldn't destroy them. He had to find a way to save them from themselves, from their sin. And he does offer that. And you're right, he could have just done a do-over, but he didn't, because he loved them.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with her on this Monday afternoon, talking about sin entering the world. Of course, that puts us in mind of St. Paul's famous passage, sin entered the world through one man, Adam. And then Paul talks about how the second Adam, this new man, Jesus Christ, has brought life and immortality and the forgiveness of sins into the world. There is a connection here that cannot be missed. It's not just about a fall into sin and a promise of a Savior. It is about God delivering upon that Savior in time, a descendant of Adam, keeping literally the promise that he made as he cursed the serpent, the promise that he made of her seed who would come and crush his head. That's what happened at the cross. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll be right back. Yeah, I gotta go make it happen. Take the world in a loving embrace. Fire all of the guns at once and explode into space. Like a true nature's child, we were born to be wild. We can climb. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri, Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois, Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana, Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas, Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon, St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana, Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho, Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri, Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa, St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa, Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri, Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California, Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
This is the end. This is the end of the innocence.
We're talking about the fall into sin on this Monday afternoon. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ. You can find out more about this Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, how important it is that what we teach our children are not just the stories of the Bible as little moral lessons, but as the ongoing promise and revelation of Christ for sinners. That's what Growing in Christ is all about. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find a link under the Listen on Demand page to Growing in Christ. You can call Concordia Publishing House and order Growing in Christ. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Pam, the promise that God makes, as you said, comes in the form of cursing the serpent. It's a threat that for the devil, he will wait some time for it to be fulfilled, but Adam and Eve are intended to hear this as a gospel promise. When the Bible picks up from this point on, things just get worse and worse and worse. Eventually, we're led to a point where God repents of even making man at all. What is the golden thread from that first promise all the way to the cross that is never broken regardless of man's sin or God's wrath against sin?
Well, it is this promise of the offspring of the woman who will crush the head of Satan, who's there as the serpent. The serpent will bruise the heel of God's people, will bruise the heel of Christ. But in the end, this is a promise about the Savior of the world. And this promise, then, that's given here in Genesis 3:15, is recalled, preached on, remembered through the wanderings in the wilderness, through all of the troubles of God's people, by the faithful prophets and teachers and pastors that God has given to his people from that first time, even until now, but certainly all through Scripture, always through all of those dark times, pointing to the promised Messiah, calling people to repentance, calling them to faith in this promise that was ultimately fulfilled when Christ did crush Satan by dying and rising from the dead on Good Friday and Easter, paying for the sins of the world and being victorious over that sin and death and the power of the devil. And this is such an important thing to teach in this Bible story here, and particularly this verse, this last half of 15. Well, all of 15, for little children, what is enmity? You know, you got to explain that means total opposition between them. There's not going to be any love between Satan and the woman, Satan and us. You gotta explain what offspring is. And then there's a curious way that God said it. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. I know all my growing up, that was a cryptic sentence for me. I didn't really understand it. I had lots of pastors and teachers say to me, well, there's the gospel there. There's the promise of Jesus. And I couldn't see Jesus in that as a child. And so I think we really have to take time to explain that here when we teach this lesson this Sunday. This is the first promise of the Savior, that he is Christ, and he's going to bruise, he's going to crush Satan. And he'll do that on the cross. And we know that story, boys and girls. We know about Good Friday and Easter, and that's what this is talking about.
Is there also something to learn here by way of perhaps proper discernment and wisdom about the nature of Satan's temptations, however they come, whether they're immediate or mediated temptations like our flesh and the world? The temptation seems to go a certain way that always begins with, in the Christian, raising doubts about God's clear word.
Yes, that is exactly right. It starts, Satan uses this business of doubt or we're not sure, did God really mean this? Is this really what his word says? And that happens in all different ways as we're tempted. Did God really mean don't kill? Did God really mean don't this, don't commit adultery? What does he really mean by that? All that doubt that Satan creates plays on our original sin, our sense that we can determine for ourselves who or what is right and what is wrong and have it the way we want. But that doubt leads us, the doubt of God's law, doubt of his word, leads us to sin. And then Satan also, once we've jumped in to the sin pool and we've given in to his temptation and we sin, which we do all the time, then Satan uses doubt again to cause us to doubt God's promise and mercy and grace, to doubt the gospel, the very gospel that he gives us. And that leads us to despair as we think, oh, how could God love me? I'm such a terrible sinner. Satan is doing that. And when somebody is struggling with their guilt and feeling that nobody could love them, nobody could forgive them, least of all God, that's when we have to wrap them in the gospel because Satan is attacking them.
Scott in Mission Viejo, California says, Eve didn't simply repeat God's word to the serpent. She added to it. God said nothing about touching the tree, only that Adam and Eve were not to eat of its fruit. What do we make of this?
Well, that's exactly right. And I was reading just before this in our the Lutheran Study Bible and how it talks about that and how that's another thing that we end up doing when we step away from God's word and give in to Satan. We start to add to it and twist it and make it sound more, greater, or lesser, whatever we need it to be. And our early confessors talked about that. It was this enthusiasm that when she was telling Satan what God said, she was adding to the word, making it sound even more, you know, what she had to do. And we do that ourselves. We add extra rules and extra regulations. The church has done this over the years and with extra rules and laws and things that we must do, again, taking our eyes off of God's word, straight up what he says, adding to it, questioning it, taking away from it, all because we've put our eyes on ourselves, our own reason, our own feelings, our own desires.
Then someone says, look, it seems quite simple. We got ourselves into this mess. We can get ourselves out. If I encounter a temptation of the flesh or of the world or of the devil, all I need to do is simply not do what the temptation says, avoid sin, and perhaps then even avoid what Adam and Eve seemed unable to do. With only a minute, what's your answer to that?
Well, you can't do it. You can't avoid sin. Sin isn't just what we do. It's what we think. It's our thoughts, words, and deeds. And even beyond that, we are inherently sinful. We have inherited that original sin, and we already are by nature sinful and unclean, and we're not going to be able to get around it. If we can hold off temptation from Satan, and we can keep from doing it, which maybe on occasion we can, it is only by the power and grace of God and him working in us through his word and sacrament. There's no other way, because without God making us his own and his Holy Spirit granting us faith, we only want to do the opposite of God's will. That's how we are. Without being brought into God's family through word and water.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Pam, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Next Monday, we'll talk with Pam about the story of Cain and Abel. Folks, in 18 days, we're going to give away two $50 gift certificates to Concordia Publishing House. We've got a little Facebook contest going. That means we'd like you to invite your Facebook friends to become our fans on Facebook, facebook.com/issuesetc. When you send your invitation, let us know that you have by sending us an email with the invitation and how many friends you invited. That email address, contest@issuesetc.org. The listener with the best invitation will get a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House, and the listener who invited the most friends will also get a $50 gift certificate. Contest@issuesetc.org. Only 18 days until we pick the winners. Contest@issuesetc.org. Help your friends become fans of Issues Etc. on Facebook. When we come back, hour two, we'll do a little bit of the Issues Etc. comment line. Then we'll talk with Chris Roseborough about a new emergent church conference called Big Tent Christianity.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.